The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick, and we're here to continue our expectations series here tonight. And today we're going to talk about Chris Board and Isaiah Likely. Joining us to do that is Jake Vogel. Jake, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, Ken. How about yourself?
No complaints at all. We're in the middle of a absolutely breathtaking Oriole game here. Just in case you're wondering, this is Friday night at 10 o'clock. So the Orioles have just entered a rain delay entering the 11th inning. But a very exciting play at home plate that got reversed to keep the game alive in the top of the 10th.
Yes, sir.
All right, so we're going to talk about two Ravens here, though, Chris Board and Isaiah Likely. We'll start with Board, who's entering his seventh year. He's a backup inside linebacker, in theory, at this point, I think, and a special teamer, 29 in July. What did you think about the Ravens' acquisition of him again?
He was somebody that I pointed out early in the process that made a lot of sense for the Ravens to bring back. I think even before he was officially cut and there were rumors that he would be a cut candidate, I was kind of onto his name. Yeah, I know, and it worked out. I mean, this—he was a special teamer through and through in Baltimore, and he's kind of continued that. And we'll get into more of the specifics of it, but I think he's a good player to fill that role, and special teams is hopefully going to continue to have some value in the game, especially with the rule changes this year with kickoffs. Mm-hmm. So I think that he could be a valuable addition and not too expensive of a player either.
Yeah, his salary is guaranteed, but he's a guaranteed vet min player effectively. Because he's a guaranteed salary, he can't be part of the handshake crew, which is an important distinction. For him, you'd like him to be, even if he could, and maybe in future years that's a reasonable expectation for him. But this year, brought back for his special team strength, played at New England last year, only two defensive snaps the entire season, played almost entirely on special teams on five units, including, you often hear about four unit players, they are both on the return and the coverage for kicks and punts. That's very common. He's also on the field goal block team. So he's truly a special teams jack of all trades, and had 11 tackles with just two misses on special teams last year. He's been one of the best special teams tacklers in the entire NFL for his whole career. It actually is kind of in sharp contrast to some of the things he's done on the defensive side of the ball.
Right. Yeah, completely agree with that. I didn't see the two snaps that he did play on defense, but I did have, those same numbers in front of me. Two snaps is not enough to equal even 1% of the defensive snaps in New England. So it was 0% of the defensive snaps, and he played 89% of all special team snaps, which is really good. And I think that gives you a picture of where he is at his career right now. Perhaps some of it is the coaching staff in New England last year and what they felt they needed to do at the inside linebacker position. And, I was happy to bring him in and see, one of our guys leave. Phillips left in free agency, and he was, pretty much a special teamer as well. And bringing Chris Ford back made a ton of sense, in my opinion. I don't know if you can find this for me, and I was kind of trying to look for it. wasn't Board a like a Pro Bowler for one of the seasons or a Pro Bowl alternate for a special teams player? Or was that, did that never happen?
I can't recall it happening, but I will take a look right now.
I knew that he was up there, but he may have never gotten that designation. It probably was Matthew Slater still playing.
Yeah, so he would have hogged it then. Yeah, Board has never been at any kind of postseason awards. That said, he's been outstanding on special teams. He left the Ravens 2 years ago, so he played 22 and 23 outside, 22 with the Lions. He did have 158 defensive snaps. So there's a possibility he could come back and play a little defense, but I think the focus is entirely on special teams. And we had this come up on another with another player. I don't remember who we were talking about, but Board is a I think he's a direct reflection of the new kickoff rules because he's been such a good tackler. I think they really want that in space. And so they decided this was a guy. I also think the fact they drafted Sanusi Kane in the seventh round, as opposed to some other players and, you know, get Kane through the UDFA process is probably indicates to me they were thinking special teams for me too, because he's not a safety for the back end. He might be a dime back, but he's not a back end safety. So I like the fact the Ravens are so far ahead of other teams in terms of really working to maximize the new rule set.
Yeah, completely agree with that. And his experience previously in Baltimore, as well as going to New England, another team that has pretty good historical success on special teams, is good for him and good for the Ravens.
So just talking about if there's a way he could fit in defensively, my feeling all along has been if the Ravens have a problem with Roquan Smith, if he goes down at any point during the season, I'm not sure the replacement is on the roster. I think they may need to go to the street. I don't think it's Simpson that they moved there. I don't think it's Board that they put there. The one guy who kind of might have the right size for it is Avandi Rigby, who weighs about 239 pounds. It could be at the two down thumper you need. Of course, he's an undrafted rookie out of Temple. Not sure if he's a guy who would make sense or not.
Yeah, I agree. For my money, Chris Board's not going to be the guy that replaces Roquan either. So on the same page, it would probably be an outside addition if something were to happen to Mr. Smith.
Let's hope not. Josh Ross is still around as well, a second-year player now because of the injury. So he's, even though he really hasn't played at all for the Ravens, he's at a point where he has 1 year of sand left in the hourglass, so to speak, and could be a guy who would step in at the mic. I think it's more likely he would be the first guy up at the will position.
Yeah, I agree. He doesn't really seem like the mic linebacker replacement either, but it's good that he's still floating around on the roster. He'll be valuable in the preseason, picking up snaps. And, you know, he has a chance to fight for a roster spot, but it's going to be pretty tight. And certainly he would be a welcomed addition on the practice squad, I would imagine.
Yeah, Deion Jennings, another guy who's a smaller linebacker, weighs in the 220s, probably not a Mike possibility, but could be a possibility on the weak side. I know the question comes up about Harrison again. I think that ship has sailed now. He's kind of reshaped his body. He's up to in the high 250s in terms of pounds. It's not really the kind of heft you want your Mike linebacker. He's got a lot of coverage responsibilities to have. It's good for thumping, but it's not good for trying to keep up with a tight end to be carrying that kind of rate.
Yeah, completely agree with that. I haven't really done any work on him yet, but
interesting that I think Board has a chance now to be a survivor, and maybe that's part of what they sold him coming back to Baltimore. Said, hey, we'll give you a guaranteed contract, but that's an indication of how much we want you here for the next 3 years, say, because if you play well and the new rules provide the variation of outcome that we think they might. And I think that's what they're intending for. They're intending for an exciting kickoff rule. Then, you know, possibly you are going to be here for 3 years. There won't be a big change of apartments and a move necessary and whatnot. You have a chance to stay here and probably for the next couple of years be on the handshake crew. But still, Chris Board has, you know, potentially become an NFL survivor with his special team skills.
Completely agree. I mean, Baltimore has a list of guys that have laid that foundation. ahead of him, and Anthony LaVine being one of them, Albert McClellan, although he did significantly more on defense and at a higher level. But, you know, just to name a couple guys that are special teams aces, I can name some other that are more obscure. Maybe they're not the best examples, like Brendan Trawick,
yeah,
you know, some other safeties from years past. But Chris Ford, you know, I think he started his career kind of as – or he was a safety at some point in college, and then he transitioned to linebacker. So he kind of fits the bill in that way.
Yeah. That it definitely has the what you look for in a special teams player. Most of the other great Ravens special team players have been multi-year players, like LaVine, like McClellan that you named, and like Brendan Trawick, for that way, have also had some value on defense to the team. They've been available to play dime back, or, you know, Anthony Mitchell, if you go way back, available to play dime back. And ideally, your guy on the very fringe of the roster like that could be that. And I'm not saying the chance is nothing for Board, is zero for that to happen, because he might come in a emergency situation. It was McClellan who did come in emergency situations when Mosley was hurt. So that did end up being a big deal. And LaVine, of course, became a great Ravens dime back when finally given the opportunity when Dean Pease got out of the committed nickel.
Yep. Completely agree on that as well. So, yeah.
Let's talk about a good season and a great season. I understand you had another category. Do you want to start with that first?
Sure. Yeah, so I did a 60th percentile season, something that you mentioned on shows. For me, I was really kind of looking at this is the low bar where I felt like the term good season was greater than that. Than that low bar. So I did three categories.
Okay.
So for me, Chris Board, you know, some of these are just numbers that I would be going into, but we'll also get into the quality of play. So in that 60th percentile season, he would play, you know, roughly 16 games. He's been a high number of games player in his career. So even though that seems like you're asking for a lot, it's not for him. With about 80% of the special team snaps. And he reestablishes a leadership role on the special teams units, plays none or a very small amount of defense at or just below replacement level.
Okay. All right. That's a nice, very reasonable low bar for him. And now that's not your good season. That's a less, that's an average season or something we want to call it. But what's your good season look like?
So my good season, he plays 17 games, so he has to be healthy. With 85% or greater special team snaps played, becomes a top two leader on the special teams coverage units and return units, and shows real value with the new kickoff rules as a tackler, plays sparingly on defense at replacement level.
Okay, that's very reasonable, and I've got something very similar. I'll just read mine. Active every week, he's healthy, has a five-unit impact on special teams. I'll say four or five, because I'm not going to force him to be on the kickoff block unit. I don't think that's really all that important. The Ravens do it very well anyway.
Right.
And I'm definitely not going to – he's not going to be on any units where the Ravens are kicking the ball. So that's going to limit his special team snaps in some ways. So four units. I want kick or punt and kickoff, coverage and return. I want to be in all four of those.
Right.
Assimilates well the new kickoff rules. That's just the way I want to say it here. I'm not putting any tackle total or any tackle requirement on there for him. Just assimilates well. The Ravens return to the top third of NFL teams in terms of kick coverage specifically. And that's his better of the two areas. So hopefully that's a something they can do. And that's a good season for me. What's a great season look like for you?
Sure. A great season, you know, it's going to have the same thing. Play 17 games. He becomes the top leader on the special teams unit. You know, when we're talking about the tacklers out there, the gunners, all of those players in those units, he is the leader among the group. When put into the game on defense, he plays above replacement level with still above average athleticism for the position. And because of his better understanding of the defense and assignments, he's able to make some splash plays as well.
Okay. All right. That certainly would be great. I have very similarly assumes a co-captain role on the special teams with Malik Harrison, who I think is probably the natural new leader mm-hmm. here. Difference maker on kickoffs and punts. A difference maker as opposed to just assimilates well to. Avoids penalties. That's big. Ravens average top five in terms of kick and punt coverage instead of the top third if he's in the level below. And plays a little will linebacker if required. And ideally doesn't play any will linebacker.
Right.
That's the good for the Ravens result.
Yep. I completely agree with that.
All right. All right, wonderful. It's great when they turn out exactly the same. I also like it when somebody has something completely different that I didn't think of, and I'm jealous of how they put their stuff together. Let's move on and talk about Isaiah Likely a little bit. Third-year tight end, turns 24 in April, really broke out in the second half of last year, particularly with Mark Andrews' injury. What did you take away from that season for him?
I mean, the tight ends were so uniquely efficient last year. Something that you've definitely mentioned in previous pods. So not trying to take away from anything that you've said. Anyways, he was a fantastic receiver. He showed his ability to create after the catch, like you saw on his college tape. And, you know, all of that's being said about the efficiency from that unit, Likely was only given 40 targets on the year. He was great with those amount of targets, but I feel like that bar is extremely low in terms of the volume he was given throughout the season, including the Mark Andrews injury. But his ability to come in and produce while, you know, the top receiver essentially on the team was out for a significant period of time, that was really special to see. And I think going into this season, there's a lot of expectation for him.
Yeah, it certainly is exciting. You mentioned the efficiency. There's 40 targets, 141.2 passer rating throwing to Likely this last year. 5 touchdowns, no interceptions. It was 12-0 for the tight ends as a whole. So that was pretty spectacular. It's a less was more season for the tight ends. They had a total of 110 mm-hmm. targets, 195 targets the year before. So you can look at this two ways with the addition of Odell Beckham. Odell Beckham added some decent per play rate results for the Ravens. I don't think that's wasn't the problem. He didn't play all that much. He certainly didn't earn the entire amount that he made in terms of the quality of his play. But the tight ends getting 85 less targets, it helped the team in terms of rate efficiency, like nobody's business, to take a lot of the attention away from Mark Andrews. But also, it leaves you in that middle point, whereas, you know, they throw so much and that they're reducing efficiency with 195 targets, and there's interceptions being created by the fact they're throwing mm-hmm. to a contested Mark Andrews, or just a Mark Andrews who's tipping the ball and has a second defender collapsing on him very frequently. You don't obviously want that, but then you think, well, 110 targets and he gets 141.2 passer rating and you're upset about it. It's like in gambling, there's only two things you can be: upset about losing, or upset because you didn't bet enough. And we were upset mm-hmm. because we didn't bet enough in this last season in terms right. of the tight ends.
Yeah, completely agree on that.
4 drops this last year, 10.5% rate. That's been a problem for Likely's career as a whole. It's something he still can get better at. And, you know, it's only 40 targets, so to drop the ball 4 times is not good. He had some holding penalties earlier in his career, particularly in year one and in the preseason in year one, that really brought it a question what kind of a run blocker he'd be. Didn't have any holding calls, but had 2 OPI flags this last year. So a little too aggressive getting into the body of defenders to set up pick plays and whatnot.
Yeah, I completely agree. The drop rate's not great. I definitely think you see him body catch at times. At other times he's able to make the spectacular catch like he did in Jacksonville. Completely high pointing the ball, mossing those 2 defenders. Mm-hmm. So he has hands. He's just not the most consistent with them. His catch percentage, however, 75% on the year. It's not a large sample size, but that's a great catch percentage. If you compare that to somebody that we were mentioning earlier, Odell Beckham, his career percentage is in the 50s. So Likely is looking pretty good when you're comparing the two, but the volume is apples to oranges. Yeah, I agree with what you said, though. I think that he has room to grow as a blocker still, but we did see some strides in his run blocking this past season. And I think the Ravens are really trying to push Charlie Kolar into that direction too, to kind of give him a larger, more identified role on the offense. But if Likely is able to, you know, just, you know, take it another step forward, that's going to make him extremely valuable to the offense and really a two-way player for them.
I would have a slightly different take on the run blocking. I think he kind of took, during the regular season, particularly after a bad preseason in 2022 with a couple holding calls, 12 for 12 as a receiver in that preseason. So we saw a flash of 2023 receiving skills. But he didn't run block well coming out of the preseason. Then he had a holding call the regular season. But by and large, his run blocking was outstanding in 2022. And I would say he definitely took a step back in 23. And it's an area, it is two steps forward and one step back, because I think he's actually probably ahead of where I thought he'd be at this point in his career, particularly if you just combine the two seasons of results and you say, you know, in total, Isaiah Likely's been a pretty damn good player. I would be really happy if he's able to consolidate his improvements as a run blocker, which I don't think really happened in 23. His 22 improvements in 23. That's just the way I would flag it.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I think that's fair. I don't really need to go back to his college tape, but I found he gave a lot of effort in his run blocking in college, and I think he was successful at it at times, and people kind of pegged him as this guy, there's no way he can run block. And I kind of felt differently, but you know, he was more of an H-back type run blocker, get him out in space at the second level rather than your true inline tight end, you know, taking a guy on 1v1 there.
Yeah. Take it on OLB a lot of times. Right. And sometimes it's some guy lines up wide and he's really got to make the block first. And then maybe he has tackle help. Maybe he doesn't in terms of that. So that's a good point there. And the fact that Kolar is more in line probably means Kolar is getting the easier run blocking snaps. The pass blocking snaps, to the degree he has those, that's really tough to do in line, but the run blocking snaps, it might be easier. And I guess the counterpoint to that is that if he's split wide, if he's actually split or wide, either one was, but separate from the formation, he's going to get a lot of guys in level two and level three. Those are quick guys who can give you trouble. But if you're a guy like Likely, who's quick on his own feet and able to keep his feet, it should be a blocking responsibility he should be able to handle. So hopefully it returns. I guess, you know, it'll be one of the big questions of what we'll get to a little later is how they're going to use Andrews and Likely at the same time. But before we do that, kind of want to go back to Likely the receiver.
Sure.
And talk through some of the things that happened. So just if you're going through his year this last year, he caught three or four balls for 32 yards in the first 3 weeks. Nothing wrong with that. But he had that huge drop against Indianapolis on third down that cost it was one of the plays that cost them that football game. You can look at the fair catch on the punt with 2:03 remaining that gave Indianapolis another chance. You can look at several different plays that did not get it done for the Ravens that game, but that was one of them. And that was unfortunate. And then he went 4 weeks without a target after that. So I don't know whose penance that was, whether it had anything to do with scheme, whether it was Lamar not really trusting him with the ball, because it certainly could have been that, or whether it was Likely not getting open, possibly not playing as many receiving snaps as well, though it didn't look into that. But he didn't have his next four games didn't have a single target. Is really unusual. Then he had a couple games where he had about five or six targets over a three-game period, but he caught fire after Andrews was hurt in week 11 versus Cincinnati. Played the last six games and caught 21 of 30 balls for 322, 10.7 yards per target, all five of his touchdowns and no interceptions.
Yeah, I mean, fantastic numbers down the stretch. Going back to his 2022 season, he was I don't have it in front of me, a 6-point-something yards per target receiver. In this past year, that number skyrocketed. It was had it in front of me.
I think it was 8.5, but I'll take a look at it to make sure I'm right on that.
His yards per target was over 10.
At the end of the year or for the whole year?
For the whole season.
You're right. 10.3. My God, how did I miss
yeah.
that?
Yep.
Okay.
So, you know, that really helps his career average with the two seasons, but, you know, a fantastic number, something that is going to be nearly impossible to keep up, but,
yes.
but, you know, certainly you can strive to be close to that number.
Okay. So yeah. The other two big things about his year receiving are enormous and also probably not repeatable, but they fed into that 10.3 number. The first is that he was 5 of 5 on contested catches. It includes that memorable catch in double coverage against the Jaguars, which is one of the greatest contested catches I've ever seen. It's just unbelievable going up between two players. The other is he had 7.2 yak per reception. That was third among all tight ends. Jonnu Smith and George Kittle were both at 7.3. So just a tick ahead of him. But, you know, two of the goalposts by which all tight ends are measured, Travis Kelce.
Didn't you know it's possible to get THC shipped right to your door? Mood delivers premium, 100% federally legal THC directly to you. I'm talking about delicious, high-potency gummies, top-shelf flower, home-baked cookies, vapes, anything you'd find at a dispensary, you can now order online and have it shipped quickly, discreetly, and conveniently right to your door. And every Mood product is made from pesticide-free cannabis grown on America's best small farms at prices that won't destroy your wallet. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with code RAVENS. So head to mood.com/ravens, check out their online dispensary, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code RAVENS when you check out to save 20% on your first order.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
At Planet Fitness, we're declaring it. This is the year of getting stronger, and you can get started now by saving when you join today. We have all the best-in-class equipment you could ever need, and you can work out your way on your time at any convenient location near you, most open 24 hours. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save. Just $1 down, $15 a month. See Home Club for details.
Kelce 5.0 and Mark Andrews 4.6. You see that you know, if you want to get to 10.3 yards per target, it's really a great idea to have an extra 2.5 yards per reception after the catch.
Right. Yeah, that's a great point. Yeah, he's special in that area. Different player than Mark Andrews. Obviously, likely did not test well in the 40-yard dash coming out of college. And I think that benefited the Ravens in a big way because he's much more of an athlete on the field than he was ever able to show in his testing.
Yeah, absolutely. And they've talked about that track at Coastal Carolina giving people difficulty, and a whole bunch of people tested poorly there. But it definitely helped the Ravens to have that occur, and good deal for them. Let's look ahead to 2023 and talk about some things that we think are likely to happen and otherwise might occur. The first thing is, I think, you know, the biggest thing will be he's competing with Mark Andrews for snaps and targets. He's also competing with wide receivers,
right,
for snaps and targets. How do you see that playing out?
From a pure, like a pure skill level competition, I really think it should be between likely and Bateman to be that number three receiver on the team. Obviously behind Mark Andrews and Zay Flowers and in whatever order that shakes out. It's difficult for a tight end, especially a second tight end on a team, to surpass the wide receiver two in targets. And in that, you know, you don't just have Rashad Bateman, you have Nelson Aguilar, you have Devontae Walker that you just drafted in the fourth round. You got a couple other guys. Tylan Wallace probably won't do too much if he makes the team on offense, but you also have Hardy who could be a little bit of a gadget player and a deep ball receiver. But just from what we saw last year in that sample size where likely went off with Mark Andrews out, it really makes all of us fans and analysts want to see more of that 12 personnel look with Mark Andrews and Isaiah Likely and what that could be. So I'm really kind of in between Bateman and Likely on who's going to be that third receiver. But the reality is that it most likely goes to a wide receiver and Likely would probably be number four on the targets and receptions for on.
Okay. You stole my next question, which is fine, but you being a Georgia background, a well-known Georgia fan on this show, certainly, Monken had a fairly great pair of tight ends at mm-hmm. Georgia. So the question comes up is, do you think he can use 12 effectively in the pro game, particularly considering the mix of personnel and the quarterback that he has now?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think he can. The group that he had at Georgia was special in a different kind of way than what Mark Andrews and Isaiah Likely would be as a tandem. Darnell Washington, that second tight end that people rarely talk about, was an extremely large human being. He still is, and a really, really strong blocker at the point of attack. Just different than any of the tight ends on the Ravens right now. We don't have a physical freak that is, you know, basically another offensive lineman out there. And if we did, that player is probably Patrick Ricard. He's just not that size.
Right.
He's not that length. But it's different in the role that those players had. But Darnell Washington, you know, was able to get the ball at times. In the Georgia offense, he is extremely athletic and has solid hands. So I could see Monken trying to utilize the personnel similarly. It just might look a little bit different where you're not really relying on Likely or Andrews to be a pure blocker as much as Washington was.
Still a little surprised that Washington is not converted to offensive tackle. He's a very natural kind of convertible player. It won't necessarily work out, but he certainly seems to have the length and the feet for it. So you'd hope that it would have a chance. Mm-hmm. Go back to Likely though, those contested catches in particular, but all of the things he did down the stretch, particularly after he caught the ball, has earned him a lot of Lamar's trust. I would think the over under on targets is substantially up for him. I've got my number. Where would you put the over-under for targets for Likely in 2024?
So for my good and great season, the bar was kind of low, honestly, just because of what I've seen in the past. You know, I'm going to answer your question. In this 2023 season, he obviously had the 40 targets and he played 17 games. That was a 44% snap count. I don't know how much the snap count is going to increase. I think in a great season, that number is maybe around 50%, which is, that would be awesome, kind of unheard of for a tight end too. I think his targets should be above 60 for sure. I don't know. 65, 70 targets is maybe reasonable. I think the over-under might be a little bit lower than that.
Injury risk and whatnot.
Yeah. I would probably say right around 60 should be the over under. Whereas, you know, that's significantly higher than what he got this past year.
Okay, I've got it at 65, which is essentially no difference there. So I think we're in the same place. I think it really does come down to how much are the Ravens willing to go back to the old Ravens scheme with a lot of 12 personnel. They may well be protecting leads again this year. We don't know how this is going to work out. We don't know, you know, if Lamar is going to stay healthy. We don't know if Derrick Henry is going to stay healthy. We don't know if the Ravens defense is going to be what it was a year ago, because things can happen there as well. But it certainly looks like this is a pretty damn good football team. And if they are, and they maintain a lot of leads, everybody's hope for offensive numbers is going to go through the floor. Running backs won't get as many yards per carry because everybody knows the run is coming. They'll do, you know, better than they will in a lot of other teams. And I expect Henry to do better than he did last couple of years with the Titans in terms of success rate, where he was nowhere near players like Gus Edwards or Mitchell. But I do expect that you just don't have a lot of balls to pass around at all. You have a lot of receiving mouths to feed. And I think the best and most valuable receivers for the Baltimore Ravens are going to be the ones who can play within that construct and help the teams in other ways other than pure receiving. So one would be make some blocks. Two would be make a Nelson Aguilar play at some time during the season, mm-hmm. where you peel off a safety so Flowers can get the touchdown against the Rams.
Right.
You got to find all the other elements of value you can find as a wide receiver on this team and stop talking about throw me the damn football. Stop whining and complaining about it. And there's lots of players on this team who have a right to complain. Pretty much it's everyone except for Zay Flowers and Mark Andrews. Mm-hmm. Everyone else could complain about having too few targets.
Yep. Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, on Twitter, somebody was talking about Lamar stats or the stats for the receivers this year and kind of a prediction, and it was extremely lofty, but, you know, fun to dream about. And, you know, the reality is passing volume in this Ravens offense is just not going to be that high if they are having a successful season like we expect them to.
I'm going to say this. I have never, ever played fantasy football in a league, but I know the basic precept of finding sure. receivers and fantasy football is to go for receivers on losing teams who will be trailing a lot and have to throw the ball to come back. Those are the guys you want to rack up yardage and receiving statistics, other receiving statistics. It's to me, if I can know it without ever having played the game, then anybody else who's posting on Twitter can also know it without ever having played fantasy football. And most of them probably do anyway. Mm-hmm. And you know, to see anything where the wide receivers are going to post up for, you know, 3,500 or 4,000 yards all by themselves before you get into tight ends, or I think actually it was probably like 3,000 yards from the wide receivers, but it's still too high. Right. You know, in terms of that, Ravens got a ton of value out of tight ends this last year. They got a ton of value out of running backs in the passing game mm-hmm. this last year. And I, you know, at least that I take as a huge positive from Monkett. I say rely less on the wide receivers, even though you may have more on the field. If your passing game is in general highly efficient, and hey, Lamar has an MVP award to show for it, then that's good enough.
Yep. Yeah, I agree with that big time.
All right. How about let's go on to the good and great season for you. So what do you have? Did you create a third category also for likely or not?
I did, but we don't need to go over that one.
Okay. What's a good season look like?
So a good season, he played 16 games with a 45%+ snap share, 50+ targets. So, you know, it's an increase of at least 10 from this past year, with a 73% catch rate. So that puts him roughly at 37 receptions, anywhere between 11.5 yards per reception and 8.5 yards per target, which would be a significant drop off in yards per target, but still really solid number, around 426 receiving yards. And I kept them right around the touchdown numbers. You know, those can change year by year, but five receiving touchdowns.
Okay. What did you have for him in terms of yardage? Just, I thought you had a yardage still there and I missed
it. Yeah, 426.
Okay, good.
I have some qualitative elements as well. So he shows some growth as a blocker and as a separator at the top of the route. You know, that's something that he talked about in his press conference, you know, and it was either mandatory minicamp or it was the OTAs, but he's been working at the top of the routes, trying to get a little bit better there. Continues his yak skills from 2023 into 2024, you know, maybe at the same level for this good season, and makes the Mark Andrews contract situation a little bit tricky. Enters year four, which would be 2025, as a must-involve player over wide receiver two to three types.
Okay. All right. That's a very detailed one. That's good. I think that's the best one I've heard from any guest on the show in terms of having a lot of detail at the good level. But that's good. I'll toss mine out there. A good season. He's healthy for 14 plus games. Run blocking improves to a level somewhere between 22 and 23. Okay, so he can't be as bad as he was in 23, but I don't expect him to be as good as he was in 22. He's able to get approximately four targets per game. So if you see him playing 15 games out of this level, that's about 60 targets with a catch percentage of approximately 70%. That's down 5 points. A solid yak. I think he'll have a solid yak, but it won't be 7.2 again is what I'm saying here. So more like five again, mm-hmm. would be more likely. But his yards per target takes a step back to approximately 8.0 with fewer big plays after the catch. Monken finds a way to use both of his top tight ends in a combination of 12 and by getting both good rest to be primary receivers. So both mm-hmm. are important. Get them both on the field at the same time. But if they're on the field at opposite times, that's not too bad either, because then you've got a rested receiver and you've got a tired coverage guy who's got to take care of that. So that's a nice thing. The Ravens passing game still does not generate massive individual numbers because the team is good. We talked about already, no deeper, and likely gets approximately 480 yards in this scenario, because I have him with 60 targets mm-hmm. at this level and 8.0 yards per target.
Sure. That's good.
All right. How about a great season?
You know, I think my great season could still be a little bit low of a bar. But you know, I have some room there. So 17 games, 50% snap share, 65 plus targets. So maybe more like 70, okay. With 75 plus percent, catch rate. So at least as good as he did this past year. You know, I had 50 receptions. It could be greater than that. At 13 yards per reception or 9.5 yards per target. So still a fantastic yards per target number, but it does, you know, decline from this past year because, you know, that number is just really not repeatable. Not sustainable.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that would actually put him around 650 receiving yards, which would be awesome for a tight end too. And I said six receiving touchdowns. That would be a fantastic number as well. You know, in this scenario, assuming health is a constant, which you can never assume, but let's just say that Mark Andrews is healthy during the season as well. If he has these numbers alongside Andrews, and likely, I mean, you're cooking with gas. He becomes a stronger blocker as a two-way weapon on offense, really challenges defenses to understand what play is coming at them and what role he will be playing on the given play. Develops route running at the top of the stem. His yak skills grow further from 2023. I'm not saying the number is necessarily better, but maybe his skills develop a little bit. Mark Andrews is likely traded in 2025 or before the 2025 season. So after 24 and before, I don't know, something like that. I'm just saying the contractual situation becomes, you know, almost definitive that it would go in Isaiah Likely's direction just from his great season. Okay, and he proves to be a top five to top eight tight end in the NFL.
All right. All right. That's great. Again, very detailed. I appreciate that. I had takes another leap as a receiver with much more trust / connection with Lamar, far more central to scheme as the weapon to free. Okay, so this is a key point here. A lot of times Andrews is the guy that they try and get open on play action plays. I want that to be likely more often the guy you scheme via mesh point or via play action of other types to get free is now likely more often. And there's reason for that, because Likely has proven more adept with the ball in his hands after the catch. You know, it's potentially a bigger weapon to have. And I think that's not unreasonable. And it probably is part of the reason why after 2025, at the latest, the Ravens will have to make a choice on one of these two. I say provides more extended play chemistry with Lamar. That means more than just knowing the rules on where to go. It means knowing where Lamar thinks you're going to go, because Lamar is way, way off the reservation in terms of where he's willing to throw the ball when he's out of trouble. First of all, he has more time, generally speaking, to turn his body, make a throw back to the middle of the field where you're never supposed to throw it, but where Lamar gets away with it a lot. So hopefully there's some opportunities there with likely to make big plays. And hopefully also when he has to make a contested catch, he does that. Has a big uptick in targets due to three things. One, potential missed time from Andrews. Hope it doesn't happen, but if it does, he'll be there. Two, poor or absent wide receiver play. Again, hope it doesn't happen. But some of the absent is in terms of the number of plays that the Ravens have even a third wide receiver on the field. Mm-hmm. So if you have a total low snap count for the wide receivers, that would also fall into that. And three, could be the Ravens trailing in more games than we expect them to. Now, they were one of the greatest teams of all time, and they beat the crap out of their opponents just about every week this last year until it really mattered in the AFC Championship game, I know is what a lot of people are thinking. But the fact of the matter was the Ravens just had a very easy coast of a regular season where they were constantly leading by a lot, and that led to some nice, easy run the football to get the game over with opportunities, which should go well this year with Lamar and Henry. But if they're behind, which is certainly a possibility, more often, doesn't have to be all the time, then he's going to get more targets. And I would say a great season, so I'm at the 80th percentile now. I said the 50th percentile is around 60 to 65 targets. The 80th percentile, I'm putting at 85 targets, 700 yards and 8.0 yards per target. The reason I didn't ratchet up to more than 8.0 is they think he will fall into some of the Andrews problem if he gets as many as 85 targets, that the marginal targets will be of less value. It'll be because Andrews has missed time and he becomes the bailout guy, or things such as that, where there's more coverage collapsing unlikely because of it. And absent the big in-season numbers, it'd be a great year if he made some noise in the postseason. He did have a touchdown against Houston in the postseason. Mm-hmm. It'd be nice if he did took it a step forward and became one of those receivers that gets 10 targets over two games. The first two games of the postseason that the Ravens play.
Yeah, that would be great. So what were the total numbers for him?
You said I have something targets, 700 yards, and that's 8.0 yards per target. It's actually slightly over 8.0 yards per target. So 85 is not right on the money. Maybe it's about 88 if you do that.
Sure.
That would be a lot of targets. There's a lot of mouths to feed, but mm-hmm. I think there are reasons why he should get more targets. And we'll know it's five targets per game. That's a number that Andrews has way overshot in his career. So we're, certainly at a point where that could happen for likely. But let's talk about the big elephant in the room that we just kind of nibbled on so far is the what happens to the tight end room either between 24 and 25 or after 25. So both players are signed through 25. They'll both be needed to be extended at that point. How do you think the Ravens resolve this?
If both players continue on the trajectory of their careers, you know, at this point, likely still has had a super small sample size, so we don't fully know what his trajectory is. But if we're kind of basing it off of the hype from last year and the success when Andrews was out and forecasting it into the future, I think this is a Roquan Smith and Patrick Queen scenario where it's kind of like the Highlander. There can only be one. I don't see a way that the Ravens are going to keep two star tight ends at market value on this roster. And, you know, normally when you keep a guy before they make it to free agency, you probably save a few bucks here and there. But I don't see a scenario where if they both continue on this path that the Ravens will be able to keep both of them.
So one of the things the Ravens have done a couple of times now is to trade that guy during the draft in the year that he's going to be gone. So with Orlando Brown, with Marquise Brown, they let those guys go a year early rather than a year late. They get a little bit more as a return on the player. Now, I would assume they would probably want to trade Mark Andrews, and not likely given the age and future expectation of decline for Andrews is a lot closer. We've also seen some of the injuries pile up for Andrews. You know, that kind of concerns me at this point. But, you know, they could both play 2 years. And if they're certainly if the Ravens are in it in midseason 25 and they haven't traded Andrews yet, I don't think they'll do it at that point. I think they'll let the clock run out on whatever postseason opportunity they have, and then wave goodbye to him in free agency in all likelihood. There'll have been an attempt made during that season. It's kind of a prisoner's dilemma situation too for these two tight ends, that there's only going to be one deal. And they're going to be talking to both of them, talking about Andrews and extension, and we'll offer this. Likely, we'll give you an extension at this, and it doesn't have to be the same number by any stretch of the imagination, but they have to, they'll in good, it's a good possibility they'll be able to sign one using that tactic, and it wouldn't be the first time that the Ravens have done that.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. It's a tough situation because those guys are good friends, and they root for each other, but it's just a business. And I mean, that's a good situation for the Ravens. If you are a fan of a team that drafts extremely well and creates these, you know, so-called problems, that is a good thing. You could be a team that doesn't have any, you know, top 10 tight end, and you're looking for your guy. Where instead of that, as a Ravens fan, you're trying to figure out how to keep both of them. So, it's a good problem to have.
It's a lot better than having zero tight ends and having to sign one of those two guys away from the Baltimore Ravens. Good luck with that. So, Jake, always a pleasure talking football with you. Tell folks where they can find your work online.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Ken. So I'm on Twitter or X at Real Jake Vogel, V-O-G-E-L. And I talk Ravens. I talk Georgia football, NFL, and SEC. I do enjoy playing fantasy football as well. So feel free to reach out and talk about any of those things with me.
All right. Other folks out there, if you'd like to be on a film study short, hit me up. DMs are always open on Twitter. I'm looking for people who have a concern about the 2024 Ravens entering training camp. I'll do a set of shows probably in early July and mid-July to talk about what your concerns are. And because we're worrying people, like all sports fans, we can always find 10 little holes to magnify up on about 25x into big holes on this team that is actually a very complete freaking football team. But anyway, get those concerns into me, send it to me. I'll talk to you about what makes a reasonable show, and we'll schedule that and get it on. Jake, thanks again for coming on.
Thank you, Ken.
And we'll talk to you next time on Film Study.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. And instead, simply go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI on Unlimited Ultimate and watch or tap. Also, on them. Service plan required for watch or tap. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.